Okay. Thank you.
In the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, today we are in 87, lesson 87, I believe. It's November 30th, 1929.
Entry number 87, November 30th, 1929, volume 27. I was beginning my round in the divine will, according to my usual way, and wanting to reorder all created intelligences in order with God, from the first to the last man that will come to earth. I was saying, I place my I love you upon each thought of creature, so that in each thought I may ask for the dominion of the divine fiat over each intelligence. But while I was doing this, I thought to myself, how can I arrive at pearling each thought of creature with my I love you? And my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, with my will, you can do anything. You can reach anything. Now, you must know that before sinning, Adam, in each thought he made, in each gaze, word, work, step, heartbeat, gave his act to God, and God gave his continuous act to man. Thus, his condition was of always giving to his creator and of always receiving. There was such harmony between creator and creature that on both sides, they could not be without one giving and the other receiving. To then give his act again, be it even a thought, a gaze. Therefore, each thought of man looked for God, and God ran to fill his thought with grace, with sanctity, with light, with life, with divine will. It can be said that the smallest act of man loved and recognized the one who had given him life, and God loved him back by requiting him with his love, and by making his divine will grow in each act of man, small and great. He was incapable of receiving the divine life all at once. He was too narrow, and God gave it to him sip by sip in each act he did for love of him, taking delight in giving him always in order to form his divine life in him. Therefore, each thought and act of man poured into God, and God poured into him. This was the true order of creation, finding in man, in each act of his creator, so that he might be able to give him his light and what he had established to give him. Our divine will, present in us and in him, made itself the bearer of one and of the other. And by forming the full day in him, it placed in common the goods of both. How happy was the condition of man when our divine fiat reigned in him. It can be said that he was growing on our paternal knees, attached to our breast, from which he drew growth and his formation. This is why I want that in my divine volition, each thought of creature have your I love you, so as to call back the order between creator and creature. In fact, you must know that by sinning, man not only rejected our fiat, but severed the love toward the one who had loved him so much. He put himself at a distance from his creator, and a faraway love cannot form life, because true love feels the need to be nourished by the love of the beloved and to remain so close as to be impossible for it to separate. Thus, the life of love created by us in creating man remained without nourishment and on the verge of dying. More so, since every act he did without our divine will was a night that he formed in his soul. If he thought, it was night that he formed. If he looked, spoke, and so forth, everything was darkness forming a dark night. Without my fiat, there can be no day nor sun. At the most, a few tiny little sparkles, which can hardly guide his step. Oh, if they knew what it means to live without my divine will, even if they were not evil and did some good, the human will is always night for the soul, oppressing her, embittering her, and making her feel the weight of life. Therefore, be attentive and let nothing escape you which does not enter into my divine fiat, which will make you feel the full day that will give you back the order of creation. It will call back the harmony that will place in force the continuous giving of your acts and the continuous receiving of your creator. And by embracing the whole human family, you will be able to impetrate that the order by which man was created may come back, and that the night of the human will may cease and the full day of my divine will may arise. Amen, fiat.
Thank you, Linda. Okay. Let's look a little bit at the passage here. In the writings of Luisa, part of the writings of Luisa, we have the rounds of the soul in the divine will. And basically what Luisa is doing here, she mentions this one right at the beginning, that she was doing her rounds in the divine will according to her usual way. After Luisa receives this gift of living in the divine will, possessing the gift of the divine will, after she learns how she has to be basically fused, immersed in the divine will, which is nothing else than inviting Jesus to come and do everything in you. That's what really, in a very simple way, fusing yourself in the divine will is, to allow Jesus to come and do everything in you. It sounds like a very difficult term and very difficult thing to do, but it's very simple. It's basically lending, offering your humanity to Jesus so that he can repeat his life in you, as the Catechism tells us in 521, that everything that he did, everything that he lived, is possible for him to live in you and you in him. So to be fused in the will of God is to have Jesus basically doing everything in you and through you. But for that to happen, he has to have your consent. And we know that Luisa has learned to do all of this. And now she's just praising, adoring, glorifying God, going around, doing her rounds. And then in these rounds of, in the divine will, we have the rounds of creation, basically going around every created thing and thanking God, adoring God, is placing what she's doing, the I love you. Here she's going around all created intelligence, but because she's already fused, I mean, she's already united with the will of God. So now she is going around thanking, adoring, glorifying God. And she gives the example of going around all intelligence and thanking God basically for every created person, every created human being, and placing the I love you in everything, in every thought, in every intelligence. And she's corresponding. She's corresponding to God for having created basically all of us. And the way she's saying is, I place my I love you . She's giving the example of the again of the created intelligences, but we can go around and we can begin placing our I love you in the light of the sun, in every single effect that the sun has upon the earth, in every created thing. And basically that's how she's going around, and that's the way to go back to that order. Because at the beginning, this is what Adam was doing before the fall. Remember, he was placed, he was created in union with the will of God. So we could say that he was created in this fusion, which means in this union between God and man. It was natural for him to be united like that. So it was natural for him to go around and thanking God for everything that he created, that God created out of love for him, because he also understood that God created everything out of love for him. And this again goes right with what the church teaches us in 358. The church teaches us and is very clear. All creation is being made, is being created for man. And we were created for God. To love, to adore, to glorify him, to serve him. And he says, and also to return all his creation back to him. So this is the order in which Adam was created. And if you look at the writings of Luisa Vicarreta, the title of this 36 volumes is, of, we know that the whole thing is the Book of Heaven, but our Lord Jesus tells Father Anibal that also the title for this book, for the 36 volumes, should be The Kingdom of the Divine Will in the Midst of Creatures. And then the call to the creatures to go back to the order, to the place and to the purpose for which they were created. What's the order in which we were placed? The order is that we were placed, I mean, Adam was created in this union with the will of God. So the call for us to go back to the order is to go back to that union and to start doing what Adam was doing. And what was he doing? He was giving, offering all his creation back to God. And the call for us, we can say that these 36 volumes In reality, in every single word that is written in these volumes, we can say that it's a call. It's a bell that is ringing and is calling us to go back. You know, before, now not so much because of the city, and you know, even some neighbors, they complain about the bells in the church. But you see that at the beginning, the bells in the churches were created so that people will know that it was time for mass, you know, and they were doing like certain ringing the bells in certain way. And people will know that the mass, you know, was going to be a certain time, that this was the first call, the second and the third. So the whole town will be aware. So in a way, we can say that every single word written in these books is a ring bell. It's a bell that is calling us to go back to that order. So to go back to that order for us in a very practical way is to be united with God. And to be united with God is basically to be fused with Him, to be immersed, Him operating in us. And then taking our place of giving praise, honor, adoration to God, going around as Luisa is doing right here in this passage, placing our I love you, our correspondence for everything that He has created out of love for all of us. In this way, we also go back to this order. This is how we go back to that order. This is the practicality, basically, of living in the divine will. Because so many times we read and everything sounds very beautiful and everything, but we don't practice, we don't do it. There is a beautiful letter of Luisa, and she compares the knowledge about the divine will. She says, like, the knowledge is like the seed, and the axe is the water that waters that seed and makes it grow in the soul. So that's why it's important that when we read this, we also take from the lessons what we have to do in a very practical way in this lesson. We have to learn, we have to begin, if we are not doing it already, our rounds, going around thanking God for the sun, placing our I love you in every single ray of the sun, in every effect that the sun has upon the earth, in the moon, in the stars, and everything that exists, even in every single snowflake, you know, and everything, every single drop of water, because all of them, they are little bells that are ringing and they're saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, come back, come back, come back, come back. And from these lessons, this is the practicality that we have to take from them and start practicing, living, making it part of our daily life, part of our spiritual life, basically, so that everything we do then becomes a prayer. And in that way, the words of St. Paul, his admonition that he tells us, pray without ceasing. This is the way to pray without ceasing, to remain always in prayer, to remain with our Lord Jesus, remain with me. So this is the practicality that we have to take from these lessons also. And as we see, our Lord Jesus explains what does it mean to live in the divine will, that every single act, as even the smallest act, gives praise, glory, adoration to him, that God feels the correspondence and the love of the creature. And of course, we are in these lessons that he's talking specifically about Adam being in that state of grace, in that union with him. And then what happened when he departed from that union, when he chose to live by disobeying. So Lord Jesus, as he mentions, before sinning, Adam, in each thought he made, in each gaze, word, work, step, heartbeat, gave his act to God. And God gave him continuously to him. So it's both. It says the creature giving, and then God also giving. So the creature giving and receiving, God giving and receiving. And there is also a very important word here. And when we go around and we do our rounds corresponding God for everything that he has created, I will say, and this is part of the writings too, in other parts of the Book of Heaven, Luisa Picarreta also learns that when she goes around, she says, I place my continuous act of love in the sun, in the moon, in the stars. So that even when we are distracted and when we forget and when we are doing other things that do not allow us to have that awareness, even we are adoring God. And that's very clear from volume 14, when our Lord describes the prevenient and the actual act, that the Lord says that even if you are distracted, I will remain there and I will compensate for what you cannot do because of your duties or because you cannot continue doing this. And basically, it is also the same of the offering that we see in the hours of the Passion at the end, that Luisa declares her intention to be in union with our Lord Jesus, even though she cannot be there reading, meditating those hours because of her usual occupations. So this word continuous also is very important when we do our rounds, to have that intention to love God and to place our continuous act of love in every created thing, in everything that he has done out of love for all of us, to put our continuous act of praise, glory, honor, and adoration in every sacrament, in every single thing that our Lord Jesus did for us. So in that way, we remain in that union. We remain fused, basically. And God receives this act of love from the creature. So our Lord Jesus explains this in this passage, how Adam, he was in that condition of always receiving, and that put God in the condition of always giving to the creature, because remember, Adam was growing in according to his own capacity as a creature. And this is what he mentions at the in this passage also, that he was too narrow. It says that his soul was too narrow to be able to contain God at once. Because remember, he's infinite and we are creatures. He was supposed to grow at every moment in that knowledge, in that understanding of who God is. and his soul was expanding. So we go back again to that example of the book, I mean, of the explanation of the prevenient and the actual act, because our Lord explains to Luisa very well there in a very simple way what happens with every single act. So you have not read that one, please become familiar with that passage. It's in volume 14, May 27, 1922, I guess. So that's in general, like we said, I will say that that's a very important passage to have a good understanding, to have a general knowledge of the whole book of heaven. What does it mean when we unite ourselves to the will of God, when we invite him to come and enter in us? So that's basically we fuse ourselves. So again, the term fusing ourselves can be very, can, it sounds a little bit confusing or difficult, but it's very simple. It's just inviting our Lord Jesus to come and do everything in us, giving him permission. And after he's doing that, then we go around thanking, adoring, glorifying God. That's why our Lord Jesus says, with my will, you can do everything. Because remember, the will of God is the source of everything. Is the source of all creation. So in that way, you know, Saint Francis was right when he called brother sun, sister moon, because we come from the same source. So in reality, it's not mother nature, it's sister nature. The divine will, even in the book of heaven, in one of the writings is referred as our mother, because it is by the will of God that everything exists. So even in this writings, we find something about creation that is not mother nature. We are used to refer to nature as our mother because the earth we breathe and everything that the earth produces for all of us, but it's not in reality mother nature, it's sister nature, because we all have the same source. And I was mentioning also that Adam was groaning, as our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta here, that he was groaning, receiving sanctity, light, grace, everything that God is. He was communicating his own life to the creatures. Why? Because the creature is made for God. Again, Catechism of the Catholic Church 358. We are made for God. That's why St. Augustine rightly declares when he says our hearts will be restless until they rest in thee, O God. Because we are not made for anything else. We are made to have this light and this life of God running through us. We are designed in this way. So the creature was designed to have this divine life constantly in us. Because of what our Lord Jesus did, he reconciled us through his passion, death, and resurrection. He paid our debt with his own blood. And now he has opened the door for us. He has reconciled us. And now, again, we become friends with God. And then in baptism, we receive that divine grace, that sanctifying grace, that divine life that is being shared with us, that God is able to share now with his creatures. And in every sacrament, this is where we receive divine life. Let's take the Eucharist, for example. We receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity, divine life. But since the beginning, we were designed to have this divine life running through us 24/7, constantly. This is the original design that God had for all of us. So this is what he's calling us to retake, to have this divine life running through us, through the knowledge, having the knowledge, and then learn how to immerse ourselves in his will so that he can act in every single act, so that he can be present in every single act of the creature. In that way, the creature will go back to that place that was designed for all of us. In that way, we will receive that that place that we lost through the fall of Adam. There was a gospel this week in which we read about the last judgment. And at the end of that gospel, when the Lord says that at the end, he will come with the angels and he will tell those on his right hand, come and inherit the kingdom of heaven prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come and take possession. The original says possession of the kingdom that was created for you, prepared, that was prepared for you since the foundation of the world. So here, when we hear that we are called to go back to that order, it's about taking possession of the Lord, taking possession of the will of the creature, and we taking possession of the will of God by consenting, giving consent to the will of God to operate through us. So the invitation, the call from these writings is basically to take possession of the kingdom of heaven right now. Because this is about possessing. It's not only about doing the will of God or living in his will. This is about possessing the will of God in every single act. In that way, we take possession of the kingdom of heaven right now. We know that the saints, they are completely immersed in God. So the invitation for us, the call for us, is to immerse also ourselves in the will of God by consenting, by having complete knowledge according to our capacity, of course. So the Lord says to Luisa Picarreta here that Adam, by corresponding his love, he allowed him to receive this divine will, this divine participation, which is nothing else than God sharing his own life in a natural way to the creatures through every single act. And this is exactly also what the Catechism tells us, that this original state of holiness consisted in God sharing his life with the creatures. And this is what happens in the sacraments. God shares his life with us. But now he's inviting us to receive that sharing, that divine life through every single act, in the smallest act, through the smallest act, as he says, in the simple step, in the simple heartbeat, in every word, and everything that we do. Because this is the way we were designed to operate. And This is how we go back to that order. Finding each one of us, right, with the disposition of receiving this. By the way, the other thing that I want to mention here, our Lord Jesus talks about these positions, and we already identified that the church in the catechism calls this position the virtues. But also in the Book of Heaven, to dispose ourselves to receive this gift is also every time we read, we are disposing ourselves to receive this truth that God wants, the knowledge that God wants to give us. That's also a way of disposing ourselves, allowing ourselves to receive, to have that knowledge. So to love this gift is also a disposition. To come to know it is a disposition. To know it is a disposition. To love it is a disposition. To be asking for this gift is also a disposition that we are creating. Doing acts in the divine will is a disposition that we are creating in our souls. Something that God cannot do because we have that free will that he has created us free. But every time we say, come divine will, fill me with thy grace. Every morning that we say our prevenient act, that's a disposition. We are disposing ourselves. Every time we call the divine will in a actual act, we are creating that disposition in our souls. So that's why this has to become basically a second nature to us, asking every time that the church prays the Our Fathers, is asking for this gift to descend. The church is disposing herself to receive this gift. And basically we are the recipients of that prayer, because somehow the Lord has blessed us to know this gift and has given us that love to want this gift. And hopefully the persistence to always, day after day and after day, asking for this gift, immersing ourselves. So the perseverance is needed also from the creature, because this perseverance allows the soul, disposes the soul to receive this gift, something that Adam, basically he was disposing himself by doing what he was supposed to do. Just by remaining in that union and praising God, going around praising, he was disposing his soul. So when we do also the rounds of creation, the rounds of redemption, of sanctification, when we do the hours of the Passion, especially during this time of Lent, we are disposing our souls so that we become wider, I guess. The Lord uses the word narrow here, so that our souls will expand. So that in itself is a disposition. But that disposition, the Lord can give us the grace to prompt to that, to have that, those promptings to want to do it, but still we have to force ourselves, to discipline ourselves, and that's called virtue. And with his grace, with the grace of the sacraments, asking constantly the Lord to help us to have that divine life running in us constantly. Because also, as we want to give praise, glory, and honor, as we want to love God constantly, God wants to give us constantly that divine life that flows from his sacred heart, from the sacred heart of Jesus. So that's how we go back. We go back to that order. Doing what we were supposed to do. Now we know how. One of the things that the church sometimes, especially in this part, doesn't tell us how we offer God all his creation back to him. But this is one of the clear examples that how, through private revelations like this, we come to understand what is contained in public revelation that is not explained, is there, but is not explained. And also the church recognizes that even though the revelation is complete, not everything has been explained yet. This is the Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 66. So I'm just mentioning these passages so that when we study the passages from the Book of Heaven, we make that connection with the doctrine also, with what the church teaches us, to be able to support also our understanding of these writings. The Lord mentions here that he says this was the true order of creation, finding in man, in each act of his creator, so that he might be able to give him his light and what he had established to give him. We know that God is light. We declare that in the Creed every Sunday. We say God from God, light from light. The Catechism 52 tells us that God is light and that God dwells in an approachable light. And then later on, he says that by revealing himself, God wishes to make us capable of knowing him, loving him, far beyond our human capacity. But it begins by saying that he dwells in an approachable light. Now, through the sacrifice of Christ, it is possible for us not only to approach this light, but to possess this light operating in us. This is what he's saying here, that he was filling Adam with grace, with sanctity, with light. That's why later on, he will say in this passage that after he departed from that union, Adam, everything he did became basically, he uses the word darkness. So he lost that light. Basically that covered him. And as I mentioned in other sessions, we receive that light in baptism. Even the ritual says, receive the garment of light. It's symbolic to convey what it really happens in the soul of the creature. Remember, all the symbols, they convey the meaning of what really happens at the spiritual level. So this is why I want that in my divine volition, each thought of creature have your I love you, so as to call back the order between creator and creatures. What is he saying here? That basically by being in that union with the will of God, everything that we do, the simple act of gazing, of working, is by virtue of being united, is already calling the divine will. Even if you don't say, come divine will, even if you just say it in the morning with the prevenient act, and then you invite the divine will later on to be with you, every single act in that union is saying to God, come, 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 divine will, come, come, come. Just by, with the movement, you are telling the divine will to come and reign upon the earth. But remember, God needs that permission. So basically, that's the condition. That's why it's so important, is to learn how to be united with the will of God. And of course, to have those dispositions and to keep working on that. That's part of the spiritual journey that we all have to go through. But in this way, we understand now why our Lord wants us to go back to this way, to this mode of operating, basically, because it's giving him permission to work, to do everything in you, to operate in you. And by virtue of that union, everything that we do, every single act is saying, is constantly saying, let the will descend upon earth. It says, so that he might be able to give him his light, see? And what he had established to give him, our divine will. Since the beginning, this is what he established to give us. This is the gifts of gifts, because the divine will contains everything. That's why he tells Luisa Picarreta, with my will, you can do everything. You can embrace everything. In the little guide that I some of you know that I put together, there is that definition of unity. It's also another key word to understand. When the Lord Jesus gives definitions in the Book of Heaven, we have to really understand it. He says that unity is able to embrace, it means you are able to embrace everybody. With the simple act, by virtue of just being united, you embrace everybody and everybody receives. So this is what he established. This is what he wants to give us. This is what belongs to us, basically. So he does not want us to operate basically with human sanctity, because we are designed to operate with the divine life running through us 24/7. So our divine will present in us and in him made itself the bearer of one and of the others. So the creature bearing God, and basically God bearing the creatures through that union of the will. And by forming the full day in him, it placed in common the goods of both. How happy was the condition of man when our divine fiat reigned in him. It can be said that he was groaning on our paternal knees, attached to our breast, from which he drew growth and his formation. This is why I wanted that my divine volition be present in every thought, in every action of the creatures. I want the I love you as to call back the orders between creator and creatures. So how do we go back to that order? By corresponding, by learning how to unite ourselves to his will, by fusing ourselves into his will, and letting him form his life in us. So the distance that exists between the creature and God be no more. So that the creature and God now again be able to be in one another's. There is a great distance between the will of God and the human will. So that's why by departing from this union, Adam formed the great night of the soul. Why the great night of the soul? Because basically the night, which is darkness, is the absence of light. So it is the creature who form that dark night of the soul, basically referring to Adam. Because darkness is the absence of light. Before, he possessed that light. Now, he only possesses darkness because he chose to depart from lightness. So now the invitation is to move from that darkness, from that night. He says, since he departed from the divine will, he formed the night of the soul, of his soul. It's very interesting because in the saints, they mention that they live the dark night of the soul, meaning that they don't feel the presence of God. And in cases like the one that comes to mind is Mother Teresa. And she also experienced that, but the Lord was there. But in the case of Adam, Literally, he lost the light. Why? Because he's, what is nakedness? Is the absence of a garment. And he lost the garment of light. So he saw himself exposed. He lost the light, so he formed the night of the soul, because darkness is the absence of light. And this affected his intellect, the three powers of the soul, completely. So we can really say in a literal way that he lived, he formed the night of the soul. And he had to live in that way, which is the absence of the divine life running through him. So for us, again, the invitation is that through these writings and through the life of Adam, we may learn how to do what we were supposed to inherit if Adam had not sinned. But now through the example of Luisa Picarreta, we may learn how to go back to that order, how to pick up from where Adam left, basically. So this is what will place us into that order. This is what will allow us to fulfill our purpose. And in this way, creation will be completed in each one of us. The purpose of God will be created. Excuse me, the purpose of God for creating us will be accomplished by us possessing that divine life operating in us again. So this is what we are called to live. This is the great gift that the Lord gives us through the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, and specifically through the passages that talk about Adam and the grace that he received before departing from that union and what happened after he departed. So let us finish with this lesson, and let us ask our Lord Jesus to give us the grace to go back to that order, to give us the grace of perseverance that we may remain in this union, to give us the grace to love this gift, to give us the grace to want this gift, and to give us the grace to possess it in our life. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever. Amen.